good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, December 11th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, it's another happy hump day, Melody.
Yes, it is. And it's another Wednesday that we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. But first, I am going to do the market report. And it was a good one today, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it was. Today we have gold off the high by $4, almost $5. So we're looking at $1,475, up $10.30. Silver up 21 cents at $16.94. We were briefly over $17.05. But they all came off their highs for the day. Platinum was really the winner of the day, almost about 2.5%, and we're looking at up $20 for platinum, $945. Palladium was up 19, a little over 1% at 1,923. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, if you have all the gold that you want in the world, you have all the silver that you want in the world, and you want to play, platinum is the play. You know, it's been hammered, it's been beaten. We've seen palladium, by all rights and any common mind, should have reversed a long time ago. But still, platinum is still based on an industrial metal, not the same as gold. Now, as I said, I wouldn't buy platinum instead of gold, because you buy gold for a totally different reason. But if you want to speculate a little bit, platinum still is the buy out there. USDX today up, I'm going to say down by 0.44 at 97.11. Crude oil was down 37 at 58.87. Paper markets today, I believe, they were down triple digits early in early morning trade. I didn't really follow it today. They reversed itself up 27 points on the Dow, 27,909. The NASDAQ was up 37. 8,654, and the S&P was up 10, 3,141. 10-year yield was down 1.79%. Euro, I've been seeing this number for I don't know how long. It's like it's frozen in time, 111 on the euro. And, you know, nothing, there isn't anything to write home about in regards to European and Asian markets. And anything else? No, not really. It was just another one of those days. A lot of things are going on. We're going to talk a little bit about the Fed, but as everyone knows, the first segment of the program today is dedicated to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Hello, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hi there.
Always great to be with you guys on Wednesday, the hump day of it all.
No, not you too.
Why not?
Right? Why not? Exactly.
Well, I mean, camels have humps or middle of the week.
I hear you. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about how you, Dave, everybody out there, including myself, can renew our stem cells without scientific medicine and just use food. Have you ever heard this? You know, stem cell therapy has been in science.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, medical science has really been telling us all and has us believing that they have the key to stem cell therapy, and they know how to use stem cells to prompt the body. I'm here.
All right. Now we can. Go ahead.
Okay. So medical science doesn't hold the key to stem cells. We all do. We have the power using specific nutritional sources that help promote stem cell growth, stem cell action, and all overall better health. So we're going to take a look at our stem cells and what science is actually projecting as a very complex, difficult therapy, only to prove that, hey, we can accomplish it all without them. Okay, this is in an article in June 2007 issue of Nature Reports. They published that they're telling us how they grow stem cells, and here's what they said. This is from the report. It says, growing or culturing stem cells is difficult, largely because no one knows exactly what nutrients the stem cells need. Recipes for growing stem cells include a selection of proteins. And we use large molecules made from cultures from other cells, from other serums, even blood extracts. All the other cells in our components we use to grow this in the same petri dish with our stem cells, and we call them feeder cells, and they're used to help connect the tissues. So in today's healthcare industry, we just don't know all the details of how they go about artificially making these stem cells and the stem cells therapy itself. We just know they're stem cells. They're supposedly from our own body. We're going to inject them into your spinal cord, and voila, you can walk again, kind of thing. Here's another report. They said to grow stem cells for the first techniques, they were culturing them from human embryonic tissues and covering them with feeder cells. And the feeder cells, guess what that was? It was a layer of mouse tissue cells called fibroblasts. And then they bathe it in a calf serum. Now, doesn't that sound yummy?
Lovely.
I know. So feeder cells can be really from any source. So it's kind of a generic term. And it can even be brain or other organ tissue from other animals or even aborted fetuses. So initially, scientists worried that the feeder cells that they were choosing from animal sources would contaminate the stem cells from, let's say, aborted fetuses, and it could not be transplanted then into humans. Well, they worried about the feeder cells from animals, for this, but they don't worry about these same cells that they take serums for inoculation. They supposedly purify them by throwing it through filters, and usually it's animal brain tissue. And they know now that they're picking up viruses when they do that, and it gets transferred to the serum and injected into people. So, what's in their recipe book? Making the stem cells, history of trial and error basically has been their teacher, and it has shown a lot of chromosomal abnormalities when they try different things doing this. So it has an impact. Mm-hmm. The Stem Cell Institute, Melanie, in April 2010, asked this question: can a nutritional supplement grow stem cells? So it turned out to be a peer review study at the Center for Improvement of Human Functioning International, and the results got published in the 2010 Journal of Translational Medicine. So what science discovered is they don't have to use fetus tissue or animal tissues to help the body heal itself, because it makes its own stem cells known as repair cells. So one of the things they think, they're not certain, but they suspect that there has to be specific nutrients for these stem cells to be activated and to help repair our body. There has to be a certain protein, they said, that must flourish in the blood system for this. So they say that we have to have healthy blood vessels also for the stem cells to produce various healing growth factors. Now, stem cells accelerate tissue regeneration and healing, and for the most part, it's the antioxidant foods that promote stem cell growth and activation. But the research from the Stem Cell Institute stated that what they used to prove this, they used astragalus root. Yeah, an herb.
The what?
Yeah.
The what root?
Astragalus root.
Wow.
Yeah, they said they also got good results using goji berries and green tea. These are all things you can consume now. Right? All right. Now, from that research, guess what came about? Because the research team called their little mixture of nutritional supplements the Stem Kind Supplement. And that kind of just exploded. And you can see, you can just Google Stem Kind Supplements, and you can see them on the marketplace now to help promote your stem cell growth. And it's about $75 a bottle. So, yeah. Really, nutrition doesn't surprise me, but it did surprise the scientists because nutrition does matter. And it affects your blood, and blood brings healing to the body, whether you have stem cells or not. So in October 2015, scientists at Tufts University in Massachusetts, they wanted to see how they could generate stem cells in the brain to heal, neurological disorders. So this neurologist by the name of Dr. Dennis Steindler, he's with Florida University, he discovered human neural stem cells are growing in the lining of the brain's central cavity near the hippocampus. And he noticed the stem cells grow and replicate themselves. And he said medicine didn't know that this was possible. So Dr. Steindler, he said he discovered is the brain makes more of these brain stem cells to replace sick or dying memory cells, the area of the brain that helps us learn, and other functions. So our brain cells are being replaced just like our liver cells are. Isn't that something?
It really is.
Right. So he's a neurologist, and he says, so with all these brain, these cells repairing the brain, he says, why do we have neurological disease? Well, you know, you can put nutrition in, but you can nix it with a lot of toxicity. And so if you've got a lot of toxic medical treatments, radiation, heavy metals, and vaccines, which go to the brain tissue, you can see that you can upset that delicate function. So medicine is kind of speculating that it is these stem cells that are from the are in the brain that they can kind of, you know, prompt, and they hope one day to be able to help people heal, you know, all kinds of brain disorders. He did say this. He realizes, you know, because he's been studying and following the stem cell area where they've made all these concoctions to see if they can't grow stem cells. So he realizes that it would be a miracle for medicine to accurately make a recipe of just the right amount of proteins and genes to stimulate brain cell stem cell repair. So he said, we're going to look at nutrition instead. Here's what he said. Food is medicine. Nutrition has the ability to affect many of those pathways at the same time. And what is clear is that the regenerative capability diminishes as we age. So our question is, how do we use nutrition and get the nutritional requirements right to change how we counter those losses? So I like his way of thinking. And he says that one of the things he thinks we need to address is inflammation, because he notices inflammation can interfere with stem cell regeneration, and also it prompts genetic mutations. It causes interference in the cells, and they can't process proteins correctly. And then these are killers to the stem cells. The inflammation is a killer to the stem cells. So we got to watch inflammatory type diseases. And some of the things that prompt inflammation is smoking and drinking alcohol too much. So, let's see. He goes on to say, by changing the diet and the nutrients, patients may be able to limit their inflammation of even the brain tissue and prevent even reverse those degenerative diseases by giving natural neural brain stem cells the ability to heal the damage. End of quote. Wow, science stepping out of the way and helping the body heal itself. I'm impressed.
I am.
Well, let's talk about
what's going on.
I know. It's just a revelation. So, you know, believe and achieve, right?
Right.
Well, okay. So foods for your stem cells, let's talk about those. A lot of research has been going into in the last decade on stem cells, but recently they're looking at nutrients that activate them. So the Life Extension Service has a list of foods that help promote healthy stem cell growth. And on their list, they have berries, all your berries, green tea, vitamin D, goji berries, blueberries, of course, and also get this, spirulina, which is a broken cell algae. Okay. They also had on their list, which I don't agree with, was the nutraceuticals, which really is a mix between an organic source of nutrition with a synthetic one. So that's what a nutraceutical is. It's a nutrition pharmaceutical. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As far as the nutrient breakdown, because if we looked at the organic food sources in that study that they mentioned prompted the stem cells, encouraged them to grow, they used astragalus root and they also used spirulina. The reason they were using those two, because both of them have really high concentrations of the following nutrients. And if, remember when you asked me what I thought was the reason people are so sick today, and what did I say? Lack of minerals.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so these two food sources, astragalus root and spirulina, are high in chromium, iron, magnesium, niacin, phosphorus, protein, riboflavin, selenium, silicon, sodium, thiamine, vitamin A, and zinc. So it's really not hard to find super nutrients, though. Really, it's not. You can find a lot of whole food supplements if you just, you know, careful what you're looking for. You want to improve your stem cell growth. I think Dave does too, right?
Absolutely.
And you can look younger. What do you think of that?
Has potential.
I know. And people just feel more rejuvenated, vibrant. They just feel more alive when their stem cells are engaged. So now at Apothecary Herbs, we do have the astragalus root, and we also have the spirulina. We put the spirulina in that body food mix, which is your powdered superfood, which you will super infuse nutrition into the system. A lot of those minerals, but also your vitamins and amino acids and plant proteins that are all organic and no animal sources. Okay, so the body responds to plant sources of nutrition differently than animal sources. So calcium is one in particular. It doesn't respond well to cow's milk as a form of calcium because it's lacking boron and magnesium to help the body use calcium. And that's why we have such bone problems. Whereas if you get plant-based calcium or any calcium from a plant, whether it's vegetable, citrus, or even herbal, you'll see it's always the same chemistry. It's two parts calcium, one part boron, one part magnesium. So the magnesium and boron are there as the uptake requirements for the body to absorb the calcium.
Mm.
So if you don't have that, you're not getting calcium.
You know, I love your food. You know, I took it and
oh,
I run out.
Oh, the body food. The body food.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I take it, I took it, I run
make
out, and then I never get, I never re-up my order.
Well, what did you put it in? Because I like it in lemonade. I like to stir it in lemonade. My kids like to put it in smoothies, you know?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I just use orange juice, but...
Yeah, you can. They would freeze bananas and berries, throw it in a blender with coconut milk and a scoop of the body food mix, and off they go.
Yeah.
That's
and,
what
you know,
do.
It really does make you feel better.
It does. It's nutrition. It's what the body's needing to function. And guess what? We're in the middle of our holiday wellness event at Apothecary Herbs right now through the first of the year. It's 35% off orders of $50 or more. There are some restrictions that apply, but this is a good time to stock up. So if you need some body food mix, we'll get you some.
And you know what? It's a great Christmas present.
Yeah, it is.
Help your
health and
help your family members get healthy.
Yeah.
Just have them try it. And they'll definitely see the difference.
I know. My kids were like picking at me the other day because I just don't know technology like I should. And I say, hey, I fix prostates.
There you go. Can't argue with that one.
I know.
Give us your contact info. We're just about out of time.
Okay, the number is toll free 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. See you guys later.
Thank
Bye.
You, Wendy. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I just want to do a little recapping on the precious metals. Let's see if gold stayed in the New York spot price aftermarket. You have gold up $11, $14.76 even. Silver, $21 at $16.94. Platinum, 942. That came down a little bit, but it's still close to 2% on the day. And palladium also came down a little bit in the New York spot price aftermarket trading. So that market closes in 40 minutes. So gold continues to move. And so I think we passed the point of correction here, ladies and gentlemen. And I think today, I mean, I don't know. This is pretty much what everybody was expecting. I mean, it was such a mute point. You didn't hear anybody talking about the Federal Reserve. I mean, heck, we haven't even been talking about them as far as, you know, their interest rate, what they were going to do. And they held the interest rate steady following the two-day meeting. It ended earlier this afternoon, and they indicated that there was no action as likely next year if inflation stays where it is. So they're going to stay steady, including a year that saw interest rates reduced three times. The FOMC met widely held expectations. They kept the funds rate in the target range of 1.5 to 1.75%. The committee indicated that monetary policy is likely to stay where it is for a period of time. Well, they know they're going into an election year, so, you know. The decision to keep rates unchanged was unanimous following several dissents in recent meetings. And, you know, it's the same thing. I don't know if they said anything different in their statements, Dave. Hello?
A little bit, Melody. They're essentially the same as what we've been hearing, certainly consistent with recent statements made by Powell and other members of the Fed. You know, their so-called dot plot, which are the individual members' future projections, through that, the FOMC indicated little chance of a cut or an increase next year. At the committee's September meeting, individual members were split on what could happen in 2020. Eight members seeing no change, nine indicating the likelihood of one or more increases. So today's projection saw a decided downward shift in the dots, with just four of 17 members anticipating one quarter point move up in 2020. Now that all stands to be blown up should something happen in the other direction that causes a further pessimism in the paper markets in particular. Now, the median expectation for the Fed funds rate is now 1.6% as this year ends, plus as well as next year. That's down from 1.9% in September. And they do see it rising to 1.9% in 2021. The 2022 projection also came down to 2.1%, and the longer run estimate remained consistent at 2.5%. So, you know, the more dovish tilt came without any changes in expectations for U.S. economic growth, except for a couple of modest adjustments in some of their economic projections.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same it's all, I don't want to say BS, but it's all the same. You know, they talk about the GDP, you know, at least going down in consecutive years by 2%, 1.9% to 1.8%. So they do show, you know, considerable slowing. I consider that considerable. Inflation, you know, more lies about that. You know, they're going to keep it in their 2% range. It's just sometimes it just. But one thing, Dave, markets really didn't pay any attention to what they said. So, and it's kind of interesting. I don't think President Trump really came out and said anything. But
didn't see anything. I was surprised. Yeah. There, even in the post meeting press conference, that there was virtually nothing substantive said about the repo operations. So that to me, that was the one big surprise of the day.
Well, you know, if you know, we talk about the economy, you can call it a gradual slowing. Just we never really took off to the degree that we should have. But some of the chief executives at some of the nation's biggest companies, they've downgraded their outlook for the U.S. economy for a seventh straight quarter. Of course, they're going to blame the trade relations between the U.S. and China. You know, the Business Roundtable's index of the CEOs that fell 2.5 points to 76.7 in the fourth quarter, and that remains below the historical average. And it also indicates moderation in the pace of economic growth in the next 6 months. And of course, as we've seen the Fed lower their projections of the GDP. Roundtable also said that they forecast 2020 that members see just 2.1% growth next year. Of course, that's higher than what the Fed had estimated, Dave.
Yeah, just the caution rings loudly in the Roundtable these days. Even though, you know, there's this, what they feel is a more competitive, internationally competitive tax environment since the 2017 corporate tax cuts, there's still a lot of economic uncertainty around the various trade wars and trade posturing. So it's certainly not, it's adding to this this angst and this, I call it, I mean, some people call it cautious optimism. I don't know. I think it's a somewhat of a pessimism. The spin doctors are out to put the best face on it, you know, to keep propping up the paper markets.
Well, you know, CEOs, the 2019 is shaping up to be the year of CEO departures, Dave. In November, 148 chief executives left their posts. Now, this is according to the business and executive coaching firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. Only five more CEOs need to depart for 2019 to be the highest year on record. And we already know of a few CEOs out in December. Alphabet, United Airlines, Expedia, SoulCycle, they're just a few of the companies that lost their chief executive officers in recent weeks. Several factors are supposedly contributing to the high rate of CEO turnover, and of course one is a high demand for C-level skills that are attracting CEOs into new positions.
Well, another, again, the ongoing uncertainty around trade and regulations, while emerging technologies continue to disrupt almost every industry. Through November, 1,480 chief execs left their companies this year, which is the highest number on record for the first 11 months of a year. The highest total year on record was 2008, not surprisingly, when 1,484 CEOs departed just on the cusp of the financial crisis. Now, Alphabet CEO Larry Page is going to step down from the role. Google CEO Sundar Pichai will take over the helm of both companies. Co-founder Sergey Brin will also step down as president of Alphabet, and that role will be eliminated. Brin and Page, who became CEO of Alphabet in 2015, said, "It's the natural time to simplify our management structure." And of course, last week, United Airlines CEO Oscar Munoz said he's stepping down from the airline in May and will be replaced by President Scott Kirby. A lot of things going on. It could be that I suspect at least some of them, possibly more than what will, you know, ever let on, are leaving now before before things really go downhill. We've seen
the rats jump in ship.
Yeah, I mean the stock buybacks of the last 2 years, particularly last year after the cash infestation after the tax cuts, have made things beautiful.
Easy.
It was easy peasy for a lot of these companies and their leaders. Little different as time goes on. And again, it could be that they're just trying to be a little proactive for themselves and their families. So they'll stick around long enough to get their $50 million golden parachute and then head off to other green pastures.
Yep. The rats jumping ship.
I hope they can swim.
We talk about this every Wednesday because this report comes out, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it is interesting to kind of follow from week to week and to give us an idea of how things change. And that part of the segment is the mortgage applications were up 3.8% last week. You had refinance volume that drove total mortgage applications activity 3.8% higher last week compared with the previous week. Excuse me, and this is according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Volume was 63% higher than the same week, you know, week 1 year ago. Applications to refinance a home loan jumped 9% for the week, and quite a bit higher from the same week a year ago. So I don't know if there's any really new information in there that really sticks out, or other than just the people are taking advantage of the lower rates.
Yeah, and a lot of them are doing cash out refinancing. That's not a big surprise. It's a lot different from how it was 10 years ago. The decrease in FHA rates apparently has led to a 27% jump in refi applications. And their share of refinance activity was the highest since 2016. So continue to get some mixed signals, although it seems to be trending better for some anyway.
Well, you know, the FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, they're looking, that's the agency that's in charge of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And, you know, they want them to reduce their exposure to risky loans. Gee, go figure. And they want them to prepare for an economic downturn. So at the behest of the FHFA, Fannie and Freddie are scaling back the proportions of loans they back to borrowers with small or no down payments and mortgages to deeply indebted borrowers. So now you know what they've been loaning to. Now you know what's already on their books. And, of course, now they want them to rein in this risk, trying to limit their default. And, of course, they're always looking to produce bigger profits. But so it's some of this really is a reflection of the increased emphasis and focus on let's do what we need to do to get out of conservatorship. That's what the FHFA director Mark Calabria said. But
I think more than anything, it reflects a desire to make the books look better. Mm-hmm. as they try and take these firms public in the not too distant future. Critics, on the other hand, argue that this decision threatens the mission of Fannie and Freddie to make housing more affordable. Earlier this summer, both of them tightened their requirements, backing mortgages to borrowers with just 3% down payments. The firm said borrowers can't have an income of more than 80% of the median. reversing its previous policy that allowed consumers to qualify if their income was as high as the area median. So if you lived in a, an area of the country that had lower salaries, you more easily qualified for those types of loans. But on the whole, low-down payment loans are considered riskier because if home prices drop, it can leave borrowers owing more than their homes are actually worth. Calabria said he wants to make sure the companies won't require another bailout and to avoid making loans that could go bad during a downturn.
Well, this is kind of interesting because we talk daily. We read reports that we see about the brick-and-mortar stores. More and more of them are going out of business, closing shop. The excuse that everybody's buying online, can't compete. But now you have the possibility of millennials are flooding the malls.
Fleeing
the malls. But it's the Generation Z, I guess, that is more appealing. The millennials are fleeing, and the Generation Z, I guess, are going there.
Yeah, how about it?
People born between 1997 and 2010, particularly the teens in that group, are becoming big spenders. Gee, are they working for their money, or are their parents getting richer?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they like to do a lot of that spending in actual stores, according to a new research from commercial real estate firm CBRE. Generation Z's spending is now at approximately $143 billion per year, and they influence an additional $450 billion in spending by others. While Gen Z spends a great deal of time online making purchasing decisions, 81% of them prefer to go to stores. They're huge fans of what's known as click and collect, meaning they click online and then they like to pick it up in the store so they can get the tangible experience. They can get the social experience, and then the key is that they are buying more. Interesting.
Yeah, people buy up to 70% more goods when they walk back into the store than if they just buy it online. That's according to CBRE. While most teenagers we know are obsessed with their phones, they're also more native to technology and e-commerce than other generations and are therefore more open to other options. The millennial teenagers had a world where they were doing both, in-store shopping, and then they saw the new phones, and they shifted more towards that. The Gen Zers grew up in a world with both, and they like both at the same time, not one or the other, but both. Mall real estate investment trusts, REITs, which owns some of the most well-located and highly trafficked retail properties in the country, are therefore changing their business models, seeing more games, restaurants, and bars in particular that keep shoppers coming back.
Will you guys come back too? You listeners, we'll be right back right after these few short breaks. Thank you for listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We're going to go into our weekly segment, Brevity is Golden, and we're doing things a little bit differently today, Dave. What's our topic?
News, Melody.
Fake news briefs.
I think you'll find all of this to be genuine. We're instead of one kind of off-the-wall topic, we're going to give a couple of new shorts to listeners. First, Saudi Aramco.
Reminds me of going to the movies as a little girl and always had those news briefs.
Absolutely.
You know, before the cartoons started, and it was always awesome. But we were always kind of frightening, too, because it was always about war.
War, yeah. I know. Yeah, that's, well, I don't think anything's about military war today. Kinds of war, perhaps. But
okay.
Saudi Aramco jumped 10% in its debut in Riyadh. It's the most allowed in a trading day there. The 1.9 trillion market cap makes it the world's most valuable public company. And given the demand, it may reach 2 trillion tomorrow, one securities firm said. And more money should flow soon with the international index inclusions. As Melody alluded, U.S. inflation probably picked up in November. That is from to 2% from 1.8, at least as reported by the government. But some say the undercurrents of price growth haven't shifted because of import price deflation and low wage pressures. The core reading may have stayed at 2.3%. That's consistent with the Fed's favorite inflation gauge running closer to 2.0. Now, on the trade front, White House advisor Peter Navarro is playing down speculation that the president has already decided to delay the December 15th tariffs on more Chinese goods. Navarro says he's had no indication the president is going to do anything other than have a great deal, trade deal, or put the tariffs on. Trump is expected to meet with his trade team tomorrow. And Boris Johnson, the UK's prime minister, leads in the UK general the UK general election polling was slashed by more than half in a hotly anticipated poll released just 2 days before the vote, which, by the way, is tomorrow. His Conservatives are seen winning 339 of the 650 seats in Parliament, Labour 231, Scottish National Party 41, the Liberal Democrats 15. The previous poll 2 weeks ago projected a majority of 68 for Johnson's side. A lot still going on over there. It'll be interesting to see how that actually turns out. Israel, on the brink of its third election in less than a year. Parliament has been given until midnight tonight to find someone to form a coalition. Neither Benny Gantz nor Bibi Netanyahu have been able to do it so far. And there's no sign of a breakthrough, and if the stalemate isn't resolved by the deadline, the Israeli Knesset will set a March 2 election date and dissolve. poof.
Now, what happens then?
I don't know. I don't know. I think there's just, I think there'll be another vote. Maybe, you know, I think perhaps it's time for new candidates. I guess that's easier said than done, particularly if you're not Gantz or Netanyahu, who both strongly desire holding the position of PM and the leader of the new government coalition. But it's a big question mark. Let's see. Ever felt your SUV wasn't big enough, ladies and gentlemen? Well, GM has added 6 inches to its new Tahoe, taking it to almost 18 feet long. Comes with an even fatter 20% profit margin. You go, GM. Buyers can add 12-inch entertainment screens in addition to the standard 10-inch touchscreen for the driver. It's competing with Ford's revamped Expedition, which is 6 inches bigger than the Tahoe. And last, Melody, Merriam-Webster has announced that the pronoun they, T-H-E-Y, they, is its word of the year. It marks the rise of the use of the venerable plural pronoun to refer to a single person whose gender identity is non-binary.
Jeez Louise.
We live in interesting times, don't we? And on that that fun note, let's call it for this week's Brevity is Golden.
Good grief. What? Oh my gosh. You know, the one that I thought was interesting, it really is the Saudis and you know, that they're more valuable than Apple.
Yeah, how about it?
And it
see if that lasts, of course, but
we've seen, all right, it's on paper. We've seen oil prices rise. I mean, they wanted it to be I think at 70. They got it up close to 60 before they opened the doors for their IPO. So you're seeing oil stay up here for a little bit, but I don't know what happens to it, what oil prices do after this. But I still go back to think that, you know, when we think of our largest oil refinery here in the United States is owned by the Saudis, it just
makes you wonder.
Just kind of irritates me.
Yeah.
And,
well,
all the things that we don't know.
Well, and it's coming at the same time we're hearing reports coming out of Saudi Arabia that the royal family could be in a cash crunch. That the value of the government holdings, which some say, you know, is essentially similar or essentially the same as the Saudi royal family, is down a couple $100 million. So we can see that there's been some, why there's been some urgency in getting Saudi Aramco to an IPO, perhaps.
And, you know, this, you know, the Pentagon is suspending training for all Saudis in the U.S., They suspended the Saudi military students here in the United States. So that will indefinitely halt flight instruction, firing range training, and all other operations outside the classroom in the wake of the last week's shooting at the Naval Air Station, Pensacola, by a member of the Saudi Royal Air Force. And the suspension will affect nearly 900 Saudi students across the country. This was reported by the Defense Department. They said that yesterday. Classroom teaching, including language courses, that's going to continue while Pentagon leaders review vetting procedures for all military, foreign military trainees. My question is, they suspended operational training, and what are they still doing in the classroom, you know? It's I don't know.
Well, you raise a good question. I mean, I'm sure the rationale is, well, this, we'll never forget 9/11, and the fact that Saudi nationals, I mean, that wasn't a formal program with the Saudi military, obviously, but it you know, there were Saudi nationals who were getting instruction on how to fly airplanes, I believe, in Florida, in a different place in Florida, obviously, not the Pensacola Naval Air Station. And I'm sure that's forefront in the minds of Pentagon leaders to this day. So, I mean, that's my own thinking, that, you know, that aspect of it made it easy to stop that aspect of the training program. But why they continue with the rest of it, I guess, is just part of the ongoing relationship between the two countries.
Yeah, because then the word indefinitely will just be temporary. I mean, what's the point of having in there just doing classroom teaching if they're not doing anything else? So, you know, this is just, you know, it's just something to appease everyone. And, you know, it'll go back to status quo here shortly, or they'll remove them. You know, it would be that simple. There's an estimated 5,200 international students in the U.S. That will be covered by the security review. So we'll see if any go home, or if they all stay, but I'm assuming it would all be reinstated after they're vetted anyway.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how...
But shouldn't they already have been vetted?
Well, of course, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's like nobody can do their jobs anymore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess I it's when you have that many, it's inevitable that one is going to slip through the cracks. And it comes at a great cost.
900 is not that many.
Of life.
900 Saudi students across the country is not that many when you compare to how big the Defense Department is. And we're giving them $700 billion a year, almost $1 trillion. You'd think they'd be able to do a little bit better job. But that's just my thinking.
Hey, it's hard to argue with it. Anyway, that's I think that's all that we have on that subject, Melody.
But that is interesting. And... Chinese schools wanted World Bank loans for facial technology.
How bad?
Chinese schools are receiving loans from the World Bank. Wanted to buy facial recognition technology for use. The World Bank loan program in Xinjiang shows the extreme moral hazard facing organizations operating in the region where China's built a surveillance state and detained more than 1 million ethnic minorities. I thought Apple was already working on a program for this with them for facial recognition, for technology.
Not for use in Xinjiang. Perhaps for other ends. Yeah, which isn't necessarily... desirable anyway, for particularly for the West. But this ethnic cleansing in that part of the country is growing more and more alarming in my mind. Talking about just tens of thousands of dollars to buy facial recognition cameras and software, night vision cameras, other surveillance technology for the schools there. Although the World Bank said those funds were not provided. World Bank spokesperson said inclusive societies are key to sustainable development, and we take a strong line against discrimination of any kind. So...
There's that word, sustainable.
There you have it.
A bill funding the Defense Department would finally end a policy that military families have disliked for decades. the so-called widow's tax, which prevents survivors from receiving full benefits for both the Pentagon and the Department of Veterans Affairs. An error in the Republican tax law passed at the end of 2017 made the problem dramatically worse for some families, may have encouraged lawmakers to work out the fix that was announced this week. There was a bipartisan agreement in the Senate and House in the National Defense Authorization Act. NDAA, of course, allocates $5.7 billion to allow the surviving families of military members who die on active duty or in retirement to receive the full benefits for which they are eligible.
Yeah, the 5.7 is a relatively tiny part of the $738 billion defense bill, but it's a huge deal for veterans that have been lobbying for decades to undo this so-called widow's tax. The widow's tax, more accurately, is called a benefit offset. It's not actually a tax. When a service member dies on active duty or in retirement, that person's family is eligible for two types of monthly benefits, one from the Defense Department, the other from the VA. But for every dollar a surviving spouse might receive in VA benefits, they receive a dollar less in DOD benefits. That's the so-called offset. Roughly 65,000 surviving spouses are affected by the offset, the vast majority of them women. Some designate their children as beneficiaries to receive the full benefits, but under the 2017 tax law, Congress targeted the taxation of children's unearned income for tax avoidance, not realizing it would clobber military families.
So they've reversed this, correct?
Correct.
All right.
Correct. Phase out over 3 years. It won't happen right away.
Well, that's too bad, because a lot of people are hurt by this. 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, Dave. And ladies and gentlemen, you be safe out there. And have a great evening. Good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.